Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Looking forward to our next conversation. We're speaking about consumer rights in South Africa. You know, I'm old enough to remember SABS ads on television, which always gave me a source of comfort when you were shopping, whether you were buying a toy, whether you were getting, I don't know, your lunchbox. There was almost always an SABS stamp on the products that you purchased, giving you a sense, SABS meaning the South African Bureau of Standards, a sense of comfort and quality control about the products you buy. Now, that's very easy under sanctions, which is how old I am. But it's a very different environment, you know, once borders are open, we've got imports and the like. And so there's a need both in hard goods and I suppose even in financial services and stuff and competition for us to have a range of authorities to protect us as consumers. One such authority is the National Consumer Commission. And we have invited them to chat to us today to help us understand the recourse that we might have if we are faced with a concern about consumer products. Often you'll hear a headline out of the United States, for example, saying there's an issue with Toyotas that have been recalled and your local dealership doesn't really do much about it. Who's taking a look at that? It's the National Consumer Commission. Very recently, there was a review of foodstuffs in spaza shops after some serious illnesses and death actually was took place to review, I believe it was noodles at the time. My guest will correct me if I'm wrong. But also, if you wanted to know where things stand with consumption, they release a quarterly update of product recalls. Joining me now is the Deputy Commissioner of the National Consumer Commission, Tezi Mabuza, joining us on the line. Good evening, Tezi. Thank you so much for joining us on Kaya Biz. Very excited to hear your insights on our rights and responsibilities as consumers.
Yes, good evening, Michelle, and good evening to your viewers and listeners. Really, what is interesting is that as a consumer, the one right that you have is the right to quality and safe goods. And that is actually, in a sense, to protect you against any harm to you as a person in terms of your health, but also harm to your possessions and all that, and also to the environment. So you've got that right to ensure that whatever that you buy, use and consume is safe for you as a person, for your environment, and then for the actually so that it should not even harm other persons as well next to you.
And this is specifically focused on goods, not services,
yes,
just to be sure,
yes,
for anyone who's listening. Now, one of the things that seems to be quite common, you know, your quarterly update on the first quarter of 2024, and I know you've got a periodical at the moment with regards to quarter two of 2024 from July to date, there's been a range of consumption goods that have been recalled or investigated. Knorr onion gravy, for example, the Trojan boxing bag or punching bag, whether or not it might harm you, the Dark and Lovely Moisture Plus kit. How do you get alerted to what to actually investigate? And what is the hurdle of proof that I need to provide to you to begin an investigation?
Yes. When we talk about a product recall, the manufacturers actually, they are the owners of the standard. We've got two types of goods. We've got those that will fall under compulsory specifications, like your light bulbs, your canned fish, and let's say, yes. So we have those that are compulsory. That would mean that those would fall outside the ambit of the Consumer Protection Act. But then generally you will have any other good, as you say, like your soup, your motor vehicle grades and all that, any other product, as long as it's not falling under the ambit of your compulsory specifications or your medicines, they will be controlled by the CPA. So the supplier, in the normal course of either they are manufacturing, the Act says that either during manufacturing or in the use of the product, because the supplier is also forced to keep some samples so that they can observe, especially if it's your consumables, observe the samples over time and see that if they would react differently than what is expected, then they will issue to their recall. But then the other level also of the recall is when you have a continued use. The product is fine. When you are looking at it out there, it is still perform fine for the next 5 or 6 years. But then with the continued use, like what you have seen with your Ford Kuga, with the continued use, then you get other elements like your corrosion and all that, that now present as a risk. So the supplier themselves, they are the owners. What is really important is that the owners and the obligation is on them, that when they receive a number of complaints to a certain threshold, they should be saying that this is a risk, it might pose harm. Then they have an obligation in terms of the Consumer Protection Act, which is Section 60, to inform us as the Commission. But when they inform us, they have to tell us about the nature of the weakness or the defect that they have used, the harm that it might cause the consumer, and also how they are going to rectify that, and what redress they will be giving to the consumer. And so once you give that, once you get that information, we will assess, given the risk, and say, yes, on this one, like your brown onion soup that you spoke about, if it's a fast-moving good and you see that there will be more harm, we will jump in as a commission and say, we are going to share in informing the consumers so that we make sure that that correction of that anomaly, then it's corrected as soon as possible.
Indeed.
But if the users are known, in this case, like a motor vehicles, because you would register and all that, they will contact you as a consumer and say, please bring in your vehicle. But then if there is a heightened risk as well, we will still partner with them and share that space and say, our company said and so in the commission, they are recalling this product after the commission was informed or just brought to the attention of the commission that A, B, and C is the risk, so that the consumer would take the immediate corrective steps as well.
So, Tezi, this is an appropriate point for us to just hone in on the conversation. To your point, larger goods that where the consumers are known, like vehicles, it's pretty easy for us to alert those who may be in harm's way. With food, for example, which is really the probably the most wide-ranging, accessible, fast-moving consumer good, which affects so many unknown customers and has such a detrimental impact, like death, in some cases, if not absolute illness. The impact of, let's say, food poisoning might have far-reaching consequences. For example, having to miss a shift at work. For example, having to get medical treatment and days off. Particularly in a place where people don't get paid if they don't show up for work, you know, people who are under wages as opposed to salaries. To what extent can I claim for food poisoning and its effects here in South Africa? And how does the National Commission, Consumer Commission, assist?
Yes, Rifilo, this is a very precarious situation indeed. It looks really very easy on paper, because if you have a spoon and then it has a cutting edge, you can really take the spoon because it's still there. You can see that, okay, it has a sharp edge and all that. You can say, okay, I had a cut because of this spoon. But when it comes to food, it's a different game altogether, because now when we have to think of the harm and proving the harm, it's where in now it becomes a very, very tricky, because the Act says that now there should be a causal link. If I am sick, then I start throwing up, then I have drank either Coke or maybe whatever product that I would have eaten or drunk. What it means is that there should be a direct causal link between my throwing up and what I would have consumed directly. But we know that with
Sorry, Tezi. Can government help with proving that? So I understand that one would need to make either get blood tests, because now we're talking about the responsibilities of the consumer, even though we started off speaking about the rights. One needs medical evidence like reports, diagnosis, blood tests. These things can be costly to attain. I mean, is this something that can be, if we prove causality, reclaimed by the consumer?
Yes, if we have proven causality between the illness or the harm that has befallen the consumer and that product, then it will be easier. But then it becomes easier as well if you see that it's a number of people that will be presenting with the same symptoms. It will be easier to go back and take each case and say what really could have happened maybe in the past 24 hours. Then you would go back and look at what they would have consumed, where they got that and all that. So you would actually ask the consumer a number of questions about what maybe from us as government, maybe from hospitals and so forth, that they will need to check on all the consumers, what was common amongst that. And if they could even go back and trace the packaging or trace the remnants, and even then test the remnants. And after they have traced the remnants, they would say, this is maybe the tea that they have all would have drunk. And then they will be now going back from the tea that they would have drunk now to test the tea bag, to test the milk as well. So that you can do with when the subjects that would have suffered harm are many. But if it becomes an individual, then the onus then falls on that individual to prove the causal effect. And that can be very expensive. It's expensive, but it's also tricky because now you have to do all of these eliminations. And sometimes, the medical facilities as well.
Indeed. So and that's how I framed the question. Hence, I'm asking, in what way does the commission assist? Because, for example, some of the areas that are the onus include proof of payment, proof of purchase, expert testimony. You know, you just did a review of Spaza shops. They don't generally give out receipts. I don't know if I'm going to have a witness on hand. What if I don't know how to access expert testimony? It seems as though it's really great in theory, but quite difficult to implement.
Yes, Lucinda is correct. For an ordinary person, if you are an individual, it becomes very, very difficult. But then what we are teaching consumers right now is the importance on with consumers, especially with food, to actually keep proof of purchase, know where you have purchased. I know that sometimes with the informal stores, we normally sometimes we say, no, it's bread, just don't worry, you just take the bread and go away. But then if there's no footage and so forth to say that, but I bought the bread here, you cannot say that this bread that I bought it from this store. It's very important as well to say, this is the bread. But right. What is also important as well is to understand who is the baker. Because if you know who is the manufacturer as well, then you can then say, this is the bread that I bought on this particular day. Are there samples also still in the shelf that they can now sample to say, this is what I bought and this is the sample that you can then sample and then you can link it from there. But what is important is to have that piece of purchase. But what we are doing as a commission as well, because it's very, very difficult to actually deal with the issues after the fact, is to become proactive. And the proactiveness of the commission in this case is to partner with other regulators, like what we were doing right now when we were doing monitoring in the different provinces. We will partner with the environmental health practitioners from the Department of Health as well, and then we will also partner with SAFs where possible, where we might be denied access, so that then we go together with those environmental health practitioners, because their responsibility is to say that when we see that there is a non-compliance, especially in removing food from the market, then they've got that mandate straight away to say that this product has either reached its sell-by date, then it cannot be on the shelf. Then that's what we say. They have that obligation to remove it. That is being proactive. So that we can do, it mitigates. But then when that food actually has, you know, it's compliant, it has its sell-by date, but then you consume it and you find that actually something happened in the value chain that renders that food to be unsafe.
All right. Thank you so much to Tezi Mabuza, who is our Deputy Commissioner of the National Consumer Commission. Looks as though it is a really great plan in theory, much like much of our policy in the country. I'd be curious to hear your thoughts. WhatsApp me on 0639 0863-688-0959. If you got sick, would you go through some of those steps, all of those steps, in order to prove that you were poisoned by food? One of the things that seems as simple as possible, at least similar to COVID, to collect as much information about illness as possible. Do contact your health department and report the incident. Do let the seller know as quickly as possible, or the food establishment, and hopefully keep an eye on the National Commission, Consumer Commission's website for any notices in that regard.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.